be seated. My text this morning is from the Gospel for today, St. Luke chapter 14, verse 1. It came to pass as Jesus went into the house of one of the chief of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Gospel occurs when our Lord goes into a house on the Sabbath day to eat bread. Normally in the Gospel, when our Lord is eating bread, we have an anticipation of the Eucharist. And this connection is even greater when the meal, as in today's lesson, takes place on the Sabbath day. For the Sabbath itself is a foreshadowing of the Eucharist, and the Eucharist is the church's Sabbath meal. This lesson takes place in chapter 14 of St. Luke's Gospel, which scholars call the Lucan Symposium, because its first 24 verses all contain stories and parables that involve food and eating, banquets. The stories begin with today's lesson, so the whole context for the verses that follow is Jesus present at a meal or a dinner. At this dinner, our Lord tells various parables involving dinners, and as we are reminded that dinner is going on, our Lord talks about more dinners. So the symposium ends with a parable that is an invitation to a great banquet, the banquet of the Messiah of Christ, the banquet of heaven. But today we concentrate on the first of these dinners, which is the literal meal in which the Pharisees have invited our Lord as a dinner guest on the Sabbath day. Luke often groups things this way. Chapter 14 has all these meals. The next chapter, 15, has three parables about lost things getting found, like the lost coin, the lost sheep, and then finally the lost son, which we call often called the prodigal son. When eating bread goes well in the Bible, wonderful things tend to happen. Multitudes are fed by manna in the wilderness. Fishes and loaves are multiplied to feed crowds of people in the wilderness. Outcasts are made welcome. And indeed, in today's story, a miracle occurs. A man is healed at this Sabbath meal. We begin then with a meal and bread and a miracle. So far so good, right? There should be rejoicing because of the healing. However, at this particular meal, something goes terribly wrong. Instead of harmony and rejoicing flowing from the healing, we find controversy, discord, and condemnation. Instead of recognition of Christ flowing from his deeds, we find him challenged and rejected by the lawyers and Pharisees. In my text, we are told that they watched him, and this clearly is a suspicious, hostile watching. You may remember later when our Lord is dying on the cross that we're told, and they watched him. It's the same sort of negative watching. This is a familiar pattern in the Gospels. Our Lord was constantly taken up into controversies with the Pharisees concerning the Sabbath day. They were defending religion as they knew it and as they believed it should be. Our Lord challenged their religious ideas as superficial traditions that undermine the moral and religious heart of the Old Testament. For our Lord, love and pity, care for the suffering overcame the law against work on the Sabbath. Why should one human being suffer one day longer than necessary because of a rule? Certainly it is not God's will to be honored by a Sabbath observance that would prevent the healing of a sick person. In any case, this meal does not turn out well. The miracle is resented. Rejoicing turns into controversy. Fellow guests become antagonists. I've been at dinners like that, and it's not much fun. We find this sort of thing periodically in the Gospels. Our Lord makes an offer by word or by deed. If the offer is rejected, then an opportunity is lost. In chapter 10 of St. Mark, we have one of those sad stories from the Gospel. A young man comes to talk with Jesus and tells him that he has obeyed the commandments from his childhood on. We're told, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, Sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up thy cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." That's a terribly sad story. This young man, apart from St. John, is the only person I can think of in the Gospels whom we're told directly was loved by Jesus. Of course, there's a great deal of love by Jesus, but this is a direct statement. Jesus loved him. He was beloved. He's being offered a place as a disciple of Christ, perhaps even as an apostle. But despite Christ's love, and despite the high honor of the call he offers this young man, he lets it pass by. He is sad, but he says no. And he went away grieved, but still he went away. Today's lesson is similar. The banquet is ready. Christ is present. Bread is broken on a Sabbath day of God. A sick child of Abraham is healed. But instead of joy in the bridegroom, joy in his banquet, joy in a healing, instead of these we see the root of bitterness. Anger and division and debate replace what should be joy. An opportunity is passed by, an offer is rejected. The lawyers and the Pharisees maintain their understanding of the Sabbath in the face of the Lord of the Sabbath. A forced taste of the Messiah's banquet is set up against the Messiah himself, and so a chance is wasted. As the hymn says, the King of Glory passes on his way, but in this case, the fellow guests refuse to follow in his train. From this unhappy lesson, our Lord proceeds to a teaching on humility. In keeping with the chapter and its stories about this meal, the story about meals, the teaching about humility takes the form of a story about another meal. A haughty guest who chooses the best seat for himself is put down by the host. The humble guest, who modestly goes to the most inconspicuous seat, is exalted by the host. Friend, go up higher. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted, is the conclusion. The lawyers and Pharisees in this lesson are so wrapped up in their ideas of what God wants that they cannot see God himself when he comes to their table. They choose the best seats for themselves because for them the meal is about themselves, about their place in the seating plan. For them the meal is an opportunity to see and be seen, to be exalted and admired by their fellow guests. In contrast, the humble man is concerned about his host. He does not imagine that anyone is there to see him. He does not think about his place at the table because he knows that the meal really isn't about him at all. It's about someone else. The humble man puts things in their right order. The poor sick man whom Christ heals of the dropsy surely understands who the true host of the dinner is. But the proud Pharisee host does not recognize his Lord, or accept the miracle, or rejoice in the blessing given to the sick man. Because humility does not mind what happens to itself, it has eyes to see others. And the other is Jesus Christ. Seeing him is very important. By the way, I think that's the most useful I've ever heard of humility. My friend Father Urban used to say, humility is learning not to mind. And then he said, but I do mind. I mind all the time. Nonetheless, humility is learning not to mind. The proud man can only see himself and how everything relates to him. He can only mind everything. So the proud man does not recognize Christ in the person of the guest. When Christ came to the proud Pharisees' dinner, we're told, they watched him. They watched him, but they didn't see him. They watched him in order that they might be offended, but they did not see who was really there. But the humble man, who hardly dares to look at Christ or to think about God, he is much more open to God in truth. We learn from this all that humility is the best preparation for God. We should learn to put aside our preferences for the sake of God's will. We should learn to trust God and to accept his care, for that will bring us better things than we either desire or deserve. God's banquet is always before us. The question is always how we will respond to the constant invitation, with humility and love, or with pride and self-regard. The choice is ours, even at this very moment, at this very banquet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.